Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
New Scientist Christmas Edition from 2019. This is 28th of December, and here's a Q&A on Alzheimer's disease breakthrough. And this is going to be amazing. Okay, Steve Dominey led a landmark study linked to Alzheimer's of gum disease bacteria. He spoke. I'll brush my teeth a bit more. In January, we broke the news that we may finally know what causes Alzheimer's disease. For decades, it's been thought the condition is caused by protein called beta-amyloid gonadal in the brain. But in 2019, evidence pointed the finger elsewhere at Polymyalgia gingivitis, a type of bacteria involved in gum disease. Research conducted in labs around the world led the firm Chlorexin Francisco suggested the beta amyloid is a symptom, not the cause of the condition. Instead, it may be toxins released by P. gingivitis called gingiplanes, results of brain damage and brings on the disease. Hope is by blocking gingiplanes may last lead to effective treatments. I caught up with Steve Dominey and head of science at Chlorexin to find out what has happened since the findings were published. Actually, we just have to brush your teeth. You'd really, really think that you'd be able to pick that up. What is the reaction to your study linking Alzheimer's to Propamus gingivitis? The response has been tremendous. A few days after it came out, we've been invited to present the work at three big international Alzheimer's conferences. By the following week, we've been contracted by labs around the world wanting to collaborate. Some of the researchers have expressed doubts about the work, including those who have long thought beta-amyloids to blame. It's never easy to challenge conventions in science, but we're able to show our data and the depth of our evidence to people at conferences. They became very enthusiastic. Some leading figures working in Alzheimer's clinical trials have now joined a clinical advisory board. Are you conducting trials now? We're testing our experimental drug Core-388, which blocks gingipans, to see if it improves symptoms. We're enrolling 570 people with mild to moderate Alzheimer's at 95 centres across the US and Europe. And we're randomly assigning them to get the drug or placebo. The results won't be back until late 2021. Interesting. What else have you been working on? This is not giving you very much interest, is it? We've been researching the link between gingivitis and a protein called ApoE, which helps maintain neural synapses and controls immune responses in the brain. People with one variant of it, ApoE4, are much more likely to get Alzheimer's disease than people with ApoE3. While recent analysis suggests that people with ApoE2 have exceptionally low risk of Alzheimer's, gingivitis makes two gingipans, and one cuts proteins up only a particular amino acid, arginine. I wonder what arginine is. EPO4 also has two arginines. EPO3 has only one. EPO3 has no arginine at all. So it seems that people who make APOE with more arginines are much more likely to develop Alzheimer's disease. We've confirmed experimentally that more arginines than APO has, the more susceptible it is to gingipans. Core-388 blocks that, and people who received in early trials of the drug in 2018 had significant reductions in APO fragments in their cerebrospinal fluid, as well as improvements in their symptoms. Wow, that is amazing, if that's true. Would anti-GMP drugs help treat gum disease too? We hope so. In some people, in clinical trials, we're looking at this gum disease as well as dementia. Because medicine of dentistry has been separate professions, mouth is often treated as a separate from the body. But of course it's not. In 2020, we hope people to publish work showing anti-angiogenic drugs also treat gum disease in animals, and whether targeting gingivitis is in the mouth lowers in the brain. Isn't that amazing? Oh, here's a psychedelic turtle embryo. This is a picture here. Hundreds of images were stitched together to make this mesmeric picture of a turtle embryo. Teresa Zoga and Teresa Kluger coloured the inner layers of the embryo using fluorescent dyes. It's only 2.5 centimetres long and thick, but because the pair's microscope could only focus on a very small area, they had to combine numerous photographs to get the final picture. The image won the Nikon Small World Microphotography Competition. Oh, I love that. Now, this is the decade's five biggest disappointments. Self-driving cars. This was meant to be the decade in which self-driving cars as governments began permitting testing public roads. But you can't hang your steering wheels up just yet. Car firms, tech giants have found it's tricky to make self-driving cars work, while a string of clashes have dented the public confidence. Head transplant. Surgeon Sergio Travis spent much of the decade claiming he was ready to perform a human head transplant, replacing a recipient's body with one from a donor, and lined up willing patients. He was heavily criticised by bioethicists, and most experts doubt the procedure is possible. Faster-than-light neutrinos. Oh, well, that would be sad. It would have been the find of the decade. 2011, researchers have caught coast of ghostly particles called neutrinos breaking through the speed limits. Sadly, the reality was far more than a loose cable and other issues caused by measurement errors. I think it's just a poorly polished fiber. I sort of really understand that myself. Let's read the other five. So, Alzheimer's disease cure. I'm certainly very sensitive to brain damage, of course. Lab-grown meat, the world's first burger, came from the lab-grown cells, was served in 2013 at a cost of $333 million. Since then, the price has dropped and firms rushed to commercialise the products. But consumer interest is waning as plant-based meat alternatives become available. Asteroid mining. Two US firms, Planetary Resources and Deep Space Industry, attempted to kick off solar system Gold Rush at the start of the decade, while Luxembourg bet millions on the concept. All have quietly retreated as asteroid mine turned out to be a pie in the sky idea. Isn't that lovely? They had to say that, didn't they? They wanted it. This is Chelsea White. It's interesting they put photographs of their people. But she's based in Portland, Oregon, Chelsea White. Okay. The tragic trends of 2019. Tragic unnecessary return of measles. Once deemed a problem in the past in rich area, the deadly infection had a huge comeback, Chelsea White reports. The shocking resurgence of a deadly but preventable childhood infection. Sorry, this wind is blowing up here. This fantastically cool weather, but it's amazing to see how sunshine just really eats your chlorine away. Okay, sorry, that's a side thing. Figures from November revealed that 1,261 confirmed measles cases in the US, up 239% on 2018, the highest number in cases since 1992. Most occurred in people who hadn't been vaccinated against measles, and 123 people were hospitalised. The largest outbreak in New York City was curbed just in time. If it had gone just 1 more month longer, we would have lost our elimination status as a country, says Ganna of Hopkins University, Maryland. The UK did lose its World Health Organization's limited status in August. Measles has been bouncing back in Europe since the region's low cases in 2016. But the return to the US has been more sudden. The disease initially took hold in New York State, in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities where resistance to vaccination was high, and misinformation campaigns included anti-vaccination plans to patients from following medical guidelines. To stop the disease spreading, Rockland County, New York, banned unvaccinated children from entering public areas such as schools, public transit as well. People in New York City were required to prove vaccination as part of investigations to trace the spread of the disease or face a fine of $1,000. Although the science of the benefit of vaccine is clear, there is a debate about how to best improve the uptake of counter misinformation. A recent study found that California's 2015 ban on non-medical exemptions on vaccines based on religious philosophical beliefs had not only a very small effect on vaccination rates. In March, Italy made vaccinations compulsory for all children attending state schools. So it's compulsory in Australia. It's sort of like, fine, everyone gets, all parents get some sort of tax break. The tax break is gone. Your ability to go to public schools are gone. The amount of draconian measures are just immeasurable, and there's a public committee record for it. Okay, amid all this, the role of misinformation is still unclear. In the UK, at least in the UK, it is unknown what proportion of children miss their first or second MMR injection due to logistical issues such as difficulty of booking appointments rather than anti-vaccination samples. Sentiments, for example. Yeah, that's pretty scary. And of course, it's really, really sad. I think it's Samoa. They've got this Christian born again sort of mad thing, and heaps of people died there. They're like 43 in an island nation, so the size of the Blue Mountains Council. So yeah, that's a bit devastating. Okay, Denisovian masterpiece. So this is Neanderthals tend to be European pre-humans, and then Denisovians elsewhere. Ancient cousins of humans may have made engravings in this bone 100,000 years ago. It was found in Lingen in central China, where it's thought some Denisovians lived. This and a second bone discovered in the area were engraved using sharp point, which couldn't have happened in process while processing meat. We know little about Denisovians, but this abstract engraving hints that it may have been a capital of symbolic thought, which is once regarded as something only modern humans can do. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you want to suddenly insist on that. I don't know. It's a real philosophical nightmare. Okay, preview of 2020, the delights and dangers to come. In the next years, our eyes turn towards facial recognition, new ancient relatives, protecting biodiversity, and maybe the end of aging. Wow, wouldn't that be just so fucked? You just go, oh, you know, heaps of people have grown old, and that's always thing, and then you're the last of the old people. Wouldn't that be interesting? It would be interesting. People would be interesting. You'd be interesting. The last old person alive. I wonder how that goes. Old distant relatives. Then this time next year, our understanding of origins may have been transformed. Molecules or fossils of our ancestors become increasingly open to a new window of evolution of this hominids. Recently, the limits of this approach have been pushed further with analysis of dental enamel proteins from a 2-million-year-old fossil of extinct giant H. Gigantopithecus. The DNA, as old as 400,000 years, has been recovered from hominid ancestors of the Neanderthals. So the ability to identify even older skeletal remains looks promising. Such techniques could shed light on our extinct cousin Homo naledi. These hominids, discovered in 2013 by Lee Berger, lived around 250,000 years ago. It's a strange mix of modern archaic features, so it's hard to work out where it should sit in the evolutionary tree. It could be mysterious species X, which we know only from traces of DNA in our genomes, and suggests we interbred with some 200,000 years ago. Isn't that absolutely incredible? I just find that interbreeding incredible, and the fact that the interbreeding could just have just a nick to set us back and push us forward. Having run evolutionary programs, you can see that sometimes what you really need is a real bad run of bad luck to push through for a solution, a good solution, which is two good solutions, and a second best good solution really dominating the mix. That gets knocked out and the good solution can go forward. I haven't really explained that well, but it's really interesting to see just the random kick through. We could also confirm that skulls found in China belong to Denisovian, giving our first proper look at the face of these ancient humans. Another game-changing discovery is on the card from Berger 2. It looks to the yet-to-be-excavated hominid bones discovered in South Africa. He thinks may have been found an entirely new species. Crunch time and anti-aging. It won't go down in history as the year we conquered aging, but events in 2020 will tell us whether or not we're finally going to do it. Two promising drugs in the final stages of development process. One clears out old sentient cells, which have been linked to age-related diseases such as Alzheimer's. Oh, God, my brain's a real fucking sieve right at the moment. Others mimic the effects of a transfusion of young blood, which has been shown to increase cognition in animals and reduce biomarkers for cancers and heart disease. Both drugs are clinical trials that, if successful, will see them in the final phase, stage 3, early next year. Neither of these target aging per se, but explicitly target disease of old age. And their inventors think they could eventually be sold as all-purpose rejuvenation therapies. My God, oil of you land. Fuck you. Okay. That will take time, but it could be the start to happen at the end of 2020. A crucial year for our planet. Only time will tell if 2020 will join recent years as the warmest on record, but the temperature is guaranteed to rise at a pair of crucial environmental talks next year. The UN Climate Summit at Glasgow in November should be the most important one on the issue in Paris conference in 2015. Ahead of the meeting, countries are expected to submit together tougher carbon-cutting plans to start closing the gap to 3 degrees. My God. Are we on track with the existing plans and the 1.5 degrees Paris goal? The other big moment will be the UN biodiversity gathering hosted in China in October. The aim will be to agree on new targets to stem the loss of biodiversity across our planet. These could include mission to protect 30% of our land by 2030, up from 15% now. It is likely the climate and biodiversity agendas will overlap next year, as the role of forests and farming from both comes to the fore. Quote, I think it is a crucial year for the planet, not just for biodiversity, says Christina Pascal-Lapino, the UN Biodiversity Chief. Climate action is likely to be a key issue in 2020 US election on the 3rd of November, just one day before the US is due to exit the Paris Accord. It just really hurts my entire bloody head. Okay, let's continue reading it. Preview of 2020. The tech ahead. Concern about foreign interference and spread of information online will be prominent at the head of the US elections in 2020. Twitter has already banned all political advertising, and Google will no longer allow targeted ads based on political affiliations. Facebook has announced measures to remove coordinated networks of fake accounts. Though the company continues to rule out fact-checking political advertising, a widely criticised stance that makes it difficult to stem the spread of misinformation by political groups. Yeah, I have to say, really, the question is that you say, is this the fact-checking you want? Is this fact-checking correct? Is it good enough for you? Okay. Why don't we just try it on the Catholic Church to start off? Let's fact-check anything that the Catholic Church says, and then you go. I am Catholic. I really like it, but surely one can see the major problem there. More broadly, private and government surveillance will continue to be hot topics in many parts of the world, fueled in part by the growing use of biometrics such as facial recognition algorithms. China's government aims to have its social credit system fully in place next year. It tracks and monitors citizens, assigning them a score based on their social behaviour and crediting rating safety, i.e. they're building, China has decided to build God, which is sort of it's amazing about how they have a much more their astronomy is a basically live scorecard for the current president of the current government. So if something comes up in the skies, comet or something like that, that is automatically a registered comment on your government. Whereas we would say it's pretense, portents, it's something in the future is going to happen. So we've got the information and now we look forward and start looking, whereas China looks backwards. It's a very interesting difference. They just read it in book comments. On the streets, we won't see driverless cars in full use, but advances will be made. Tesla plans to activate self-driving features in its car mid-year. The company has indicated to roll out self-driving taxis in some parts of the US. In the UK, government is committed to having fully self-driving cars on the road by 2021, which is a year ahead. We'll see passenger trials on London roads. I think this is one of these revolutions we can't see happening, but once it starts to happen, it will happen enormously quickly. The only reason is that your problem of a car, there's the convenience of a car, and then the pain of a car, so it's in equilibrium. But if you suddenly change the equilibrium away, that you don't have to park it, and that once it's gone, someone else can drive the same self-driveless. I think the issue is that cars are bloody inefficient because most of the time they don't drive. Out of the 24 hours a day, they do very little driving. Most of the time they sit there taking up space. But if you could have fewer cars doing more work, especially they could earn their keep with a high guarantee and then have a high risk, financial risk thing, i.e. delivering a package which is not very good, they might make break even. Oh, I don't know, it's the economics is amazing. Pioneer Treatments, preview of 2021. Like, every year for the past 200,000 or so, 22 will struggle to see against germs our own wayward cells. We will also be turning tables as never before. Viruses, usually the enemy, will take out cancer, and stem cells will mend hearts, at least in the lab. In addition, stem cells to fight Parkinson's disease, diabetes, muscular degeneration, macular degeneration of the eyes, and large-scale trials. Some aspects suspect those and other diseases could all involve covert bacteria, potential Alzheimer's cure based on a hypothesis. There you go. I don't know. I think it's the entire chain. People used to think pestilence, people used to think malaria is bad air, malaria is bad air. Okay, which is interesting. So it would be surprising if it's not. I think what is true is that every age thinks that they have nailed all diseases. Others involving bacteria in our biomes will be tested in 2012 as people over 65 reach unprecedented numbers of diseases as they become a global emergency. Fuck, I think that is just classic. I'm just going to go old and become part of a big, enormous global emergency which is just going to destroy the planet. I think people get out there with shotguns and knock out old people, I think. It'll be crunch year for polio. The wild virus is now only in two countries, won't be eradicated for at least until 2021. Meanwhile, the weakened live virus used in one vaccine is reverting back to its deadly form and circulating more widely. All hopes are pinned on a high-risk strategy, a new, still largely untested vaccine will be rolled out in July. Ebola epidemics centred in Central Africa may finally be brought under control in early 2020, barring more violence that has hampered and killed health teams. Can you imagine going out to fight Ebola? The riskiest thing. Unfathomable pain and death. And then you just get all your suits on and some person shoots you with a gun. It's pretty amazing. No such luck for the world's remaining pigs, as the lack of vaccine allows African swine fever to continue rampaging across Eurasia. The virus led to halving the pig numbers in China this year. In 2020, other continents, notably Australia, will be desperately screening the borders to infected pork. We have got no hope. It seems that ethnic groups have complete contempt for it. I know the British have. I know British immigrants here. And they just say, oh, look, the Australians asked us to wash all our tools. They asked us not to, walk with our muddy boots. Who's ever heard of a fungal disease? And, they just paddle on while everyone with their beers at the barbecue is going, for fuck's sake. So there's a similar thing with the beer, pork products, and people it sounds a bit racist, but they don't speak English, and there is this sheer contempt. And I don't think it's the I won't say too much. Also, likely in 2020, more infections resist all antibiotics. Researchers have identified potential new antibiotics, but there is no financial motive to bring them to market. In 2020, the UK will launch the world's first scheme to resist, and may find out it can break the logjam. Vaccines can also defeat bacteria. A promising new vaccine for tuberculosis could enter large-scale trials. I think tuberculosis is just the most amazing thing, especially in the way that the Soviet Union was so cash-strapped as part of the trade. Like, this is one of the unintended consequences of trade wars, is that you put things on strain and everything looks good, but the health system disintegrates and you get that going out. Vaccines, okay. Pakistan will be the first to roll out a new childhood vaccine for typhoid after the bacteria evolved extreme resistance to antibiotics. Oh my godfather. Plastics in our bottles. Every time you eat, drink, or breathe, you're taking bits of plastic in your body. These mostly breakdown products pictured above, billions of tons of garbage dumped every year. You might assume swallowing, inhaling tiny particles is a health risk. That is a plausible hypothesis. As yet, however, that is all of us. Okay. By 2020 will be the year we start to find out. Assisting research projects funded by the Dutch Health Group report their results. They aim to get a handle on 5 big questions about microplastics and human health. Our exposure and risk from the plastics and foods in the air, the effect on the immune system, whether they reach our internal organs, and the potential for carrier of pathogens. I think that's well known. Okay, guide to 2020. February, the European Space Agency launches Solar Orbiter. That's interesting. The ESA Solar Orbiter will take about 3.5 years to reach the Sun, where it will zap our first detailed pictures of the top and bottom of our star and measures the magnetic field. It is very, very interesting, the structure of this. I'm fascinated by it. Question one, Q1 is the date to be arranged. The first crewed launch of the Boeing Starliner capsule and the first crewed launch of the SpaceX crewed Dragon capsules. Both new capsules, built in the US-based private companies, will fly a crew for the first time, heading to the International Space Station. The last time astronauts were launched from US soil was 2011, which is amazing. But she was, I think that's excellent, ready to come. That's my prediction. BepiCombo combo passes Earth and gravity assist. The BepiCombo spacecraft, a joint mission between ESA and Japan, is headed towards Mercury, but we'll have to use the Earth's gravity and Venus to get this thing into orbit. This is interesting. It has to actually lose energy. Isn't it amazing? It has to lose energy to get there, and so it has to do reverse slingshot. May, second ISS for space Crew Dragon capsule. Right. The similarities between Joseph Blanks and Elon Musk is amazing. June, first half of 2012, date to be arranged. Challenge of Chang'e 5. Chang'e 5 will be China's first mission to return samples from the rocks and dust from the moon back to Earth. If successful, it will become the third country to achieve this feat. Solar eclipse visible throughout Africa, Middle East, and Southern Asia. Don't worry, it's not kidding Australia. July, launch of Moon Express Lunar Scout Lander. The US firm Moon Express will attempt the first successful private landing on the moon. Launch of the Emirates Mars to mission. United Arabs is sending its first orbiter to Mars to study the red planet's atmosphere. What the heck are they doing there? Orosis Rex takes a sample of Bennu. There you go. Mars 2020 launch. NASA's 2020 rover at the bottom will look for signs of whether Mars was once habitable or even had life. Okay. Oh, whether it was habitable, A, and then if it was habitable, did it have life? China's first Mars rover launches aboard orbiter. A small rover will, like Mars 2020, will search for traces of current and past Mars. Launch of ExoMars 2020, the lander and rover. A Russian lander called Kazokok will carry ESA's Rosalind Franklin rover to the surface of Mars, where it will look for evidence of life. Isn't that amazing? August. Peak of the Pyrenees meteor shower, yes. Second ISS mission for the Boeing Starliner capsule. So that's really ramping up. This is just amazing. And thank goodness they didn't torch the International Space Station. I did give it a big. I did watch someone teach about it, and then I asked the girls at this technology high school where they thought the International Space Station is, and they all of them agreed it was in Texas, the International Space Station. And then there was one dissenter: what do you think? No, it's not in Texas, it's in Florida. So that was an amazing thing. The first crewed orbital test flights of the Indian crewed spacecraft. What? The Indians are going, if all goes well, this subsequent test flights, the spacecraft will fly a crew in late 2021. Oh, the testing. NASA's Hayabusa 2 returns to Earth, Japan's peak of Gemini's meteor shower. Total solar eclipse for parts of Chile, Argentina. But most of it will pass over ocean. Ridiculous. You got to go to Australia. Great conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. The two of the largest planets will appear close to each other in the sky, which last occurred in the year 2000. Conjunctions, to me, are really the most boring space thing you could possibly ask for. So we'll just see how we're going here. I'm actually not tiring. I tired off much earlier today. See how it's gone. 31 minutes. The second giant leap. The first giant leap for me in humanity was quantum mechanics. Let's see what they're saying. Comment essay. There's a dude there. Humanity is about to reach deep into space once more. This time the implications are huge. Accused astronomer Royal Martin Rees. This year marked the 50th anniversary of the most iconic moment, Neil Armstrong's small step onto the moon in 69. Many of us who viewed those grainy TV images live expected it to be just the beginning, and that there would be many footprints on Mars long before now. But the heroics of the Apollo missions are ancient history to young people today. After the US has beaten the Soviet Union to the moon, there was no real call to sustain a huge outlay for the space race, which has at peaks consumed 4% of the US federal budget. Since 72, no one has gone beyond the International Space Station, just 400 kilometres up. Yet half a century on, the next installment of the space race is beginning. China, which landed the first probe on the lunar far side January this year, plans to send people to the moon too. India, which sent a rocket there this year, dreams of doing likewise. The Trump administration in the US proposes creating a lunar base as a step towards sending humans to Mars. That is just so dumb. Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are developing rockets to take people into deep space through the ventures SpaceX and Blue Origin. I don't think they have got the smallest, foggiest idea about how stupid this is. If any of these plans come off in 2020, would be when the Apollo's promise is finally fulfilled and humanity establishes the first permanent presence beyond the Earth's orbit. Oh, God. What raises wider questions about the motives and goals for space exploration is the ultimate destiny of our species might be here on Earth and perhaps far beyond. I think, God, space exploration never really went away, of course. We routinely use satellites for communication, navigation, environmental moment. Rovers have been sent to the surface of Mars, while the European Space Agency Rosetta mission put a lander on a comet. NASA Cassini probe, we spent 13 amazing years exploring the system, exploring Saturn and its moon. NASA's New Horizons mission gave our first glimpse of Pluto, having travelled 13,000 times the distance to the moon. Oh, well, that's okay. The aircraft were designed and built in the 1990s. The Hubble Space Telescope, which has revolutionised the knowledge of the cosmos, dates back further. Advances in microelectronics, computing, communication, and robotics have accelerated in the past 20 years. So there's now a huge scope for more sophisticated aircraft. The James Webb Telescope, Hubble's successor, will be surveying the universe from far beyond the moon by mid-decade. My godfather. Further ahead, we can expect flotillas of miniaturized robotic probes to swarm through our solar system, communicating with each other like a flock of birds. You complete nong. I think that this person's complete nong. I just don't think that's going to happen. How soon such projects are implemented will depend on motivation, incentives, and how stupid I am. Apart from the national prestige, the main reason for deep space exploration so far has been scientific discovery. Future space exports are likely to have more a commercial bent. Robotic fabricators will be able to assemble vast lightweight structures in space, such as mirrors for huge telescopes, or solar energy collectors, rather than being lifted from Earth, and materials could be mined from just... Good God, this person just can't stop. I don't think he's ever done a back-of-the-envelope calculation in his life. He's more about telling everyone. He's filling the pages of New Scientist with vomit. Moon and asteroids. Some people believe we could recover precious metals from asteroids and bring them back to Earth. Well, the problem is that once you do so, it's very hard to do it just a way to make yourself rich. You either make yourself ridiculously so we've got gold, everything, everyone, oh my God. You know, make sure you're recycling your gold cans and stuff like that. There are clear ethical regulatory questions to be asked about the boundaries of such activity should be. On a small scale, it may be acceptable, but it's been proposed, for example, that a former astronaut, Apollo astronaut, Senator Harrison Schmitt from the helium-3 isotope to fuel a futuristic fusion reactors thought to be abundant on the moon could be recovered in large scale by strip mining there. My God, that's excellent. In 2015, the US Congress passed legislation informally known as Space Act, which promises the right of US citizens and by extension corporations to engage in commercial recovery of space resources free from harmful interference subject to the authorization of supervision of the federal government. Such supervision might not be enough. The Earth's nations together preserve the Antarctic. In the case of global regulation or efforts to alter landscapes of other celestial objects in a commercially motivated space era becomes even greater. The issue will become more acute if humans venture not just back to the moon, but onward towards Mars. Just how likely this is really, absolutely, I don't give a toss. Continuing advances will erode the practical case for crewed space flights, I would say so. There will be soon few tasks for humans in space that robots can't do better. Today, a trained geologist on Mars could achieve far more than NASA's Curiosity rover, which has been trundling for a decade across the giant Martian crater. But future geological investigations, in other words, lie with rovers elaborately equipped with sensors, tools, and memories superior to that of any human. You can imagine that, for sure. Given the task inherent in spaceflight, we might think humanity is better off directing affairs from the ground. Yet, I hope, some humans will follow the robots, if only to inspire a new generation, as the first moon landings did 50 years ago. We need to be honest about the risks. NASA's space shuttle was the first launch in 1981, was unwisely promoted as something by someone as safe. It failed catastrophically twice in 135 missions, a level of risk that some thrill seekers would be willing to accept, but unrealistic expectations that mean failure with national trauma has led to costly delays and release increased risk aversion. Private ventures of SpaceX and Blue Origin can tolerate higher risks than governments can impose on publicly funded astronauts. It is likely they can do and should front future crewed missions, but these missions should be sold honestly. That means not as space tourism with connotations of a routine low-risk activity, nor as serious scientific activity, but as a dangerous sport or intrepid exploration that panders to the human desire to fly higher and further. That job is smacking. I don't know what the person is on. Some will be content with one-way tickets. Musk himself says he wants to die on Mars, not on impact. You know, you could easily get a Mars meteor and just whack him with it. Here I disagree with Musk, and with my late colleague Stephen Hawking, who has said that humanity must seek a future in space to avoid the inevitable disaster on Earth. It's a dangerous illusion to think that space offers an escape from Earth's problems. We must solve them here. Coping with climate change is a doddle compared to terraforming Mars. There's no environment in our solar system as clement as even as Antarctica or Everest Summit. There's no planet B for ordinary risk-averse people. Oh, great. Isn't that amazing? But those of you who dare leave Earth will surely be starting a new, very different future for humanity. They will find themselves ill-adapted to the conditions there, and so will have more compelling incentive than those on us on Earth to redesign themselves using powerful genetic engineering cybernetic technologies, I would say so. The idea that we are somehow separate from our Earth environment, it's the most incredible thing. The fact that we have thought that if I were to... the only way we could continue as humans as on Earth is we could find an identical Earth, I think, and have no... Then we'd have genetic selection of ourselves, of who can survive space travel. Bizarre. We would surely wish them luck in modifying their progeny to adapt to alien worlds. This may be the first step towards divergence into a new species. Evolution by secular intelligent design. Isn't that beautiful? That proceeds on timescales of technological advance and perhaps thousands of times faster than Darwinian selection. If these post-humans one day make the transition from flesh and blood to fully inorganic intelligence, they won't need an atmosphere. They may prefer zero-gravity environment, especially for constructing massive artifacts. So it is in deep space, not on Earth, nor even on Mars, that non-biological brains may develop power that humanities can't even imagine. We can't surmise would no longer seem an alluring environment to them. A reassuring thought, as they would be likely to leave our descendants undisturbed. Humanity is on the outcome of 4 billion years of Darwinian evolution. Our sun will survive 6 billion more years before its fuel runs out. The universe will continue fast longer still. Even if intelligent life originated only on Earth, it needn't remain a trivial feature of the cosmos. The next stage in space race could be ultimately spark a diaspora where even more complex intelligence spreads throughout the galaxy, perhaps by self-reproducing machines such as interstellar voyagers, who hold no terrors for such mere mortals. There's plenty of time ahead. The thing is, sort of like these people trying to end an essay. Okay. Food flight, which is these two birds, and then we'll finish it off here. Okay. Photographer Alan Hadwood. Looking forward to your festive dinner. Spare a thought for these spotted nutcrackers on Vistola mountain massive in Bulgaria. They must ward off rivals and may even dig through snowdrifts to reach their meal. These exquisite images taken by Alwyn Helmberg, a conservation biologist and a wildlife photographer living in Finland, is one of 6,000 photos he took of this confrontation and received an honourable mention in the Royal Society Publishing Photography Competition. It shows the fiercely territorial behaviour of two spotted nutcrackers, a species found across Europe and Asia. They fight over buried stones or their main food source, pine nuts. And before winter, the birds gather seeds by picking open pine cones and cracking the nuts' hard shells with their bills. I didn't actually know that pine nuts were in hard shells. Their tongues are specially adapted to help them with this shelling. They have even been known to use trees and rocks as vices to hold larger nuts in place. Birds also have an expandable food pouch, which they hold up to a fifth of their own weight. Each spotted nutcracker buries thousands of nuts and seeds in small caches. In winter, stores can be covered by almost a meter of stone. How the birds remember the site of the caches is unclear, but they uncover around 80%, and some of those left behind will sprout, maintaining the tree population. Isn't that amazing? That is an amazing fact, that the nuts are nutritious and they hoard them and you can't work out, you know, you may hoard them and then you get killed. You know, you may hoard them for 50 years and on your 50th year your hoard just gets, you get knocked out as a bird and it goes along. Okay. at Views and Culture. I'm just going to finish this and upload this. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.